I was on, but the mic was on. So, yeah, we're on today, hopefully. I look around, I see so much beauty here and the way that this is decorated again. We've had another seasonal change. We're shortly having a seasonal change. And Everett and his crew have so diligently re-represented that coming up season, and so we thank you for that. It's always so beautiful to come in and see the different decorations that you have put upon the church. Speaking of decorations, the girl that put all these nice sayings on the church walls that are in the foyer there has visited us today, Kathy Parks. She was here. There she is. So she's one of them Floridans now. And so she did that for us, and we read those things every time we come in and get uplifted, don't we? We sure do. We sure do. Just a few announcements. The men's retreat, don't forget about that. I was just told there will be gunfire, so be careful. They'll be having a skeet shoot, and they'll be having games. Now, I don't know about them skeet shoots. I've been to a couple of them now, and they're a lot of fun, but there's not much meat on a skeet. So bring something else if you're going to be hungry. And it was my bad last week. I mentioned that the coat drive was over. The coat drive is not over until October the 12th. So we're still bringing coats in until October 12th. So make sure if you have those in your closet somewhere that you want to donate to the Help House, that we get that to them. Sign up for Trunk or Treat. If you want to be, remember we have the kids come out, and it'll be on October the 21st. I think what I'm seeing. October 21st, we have the Trunk or Treat. So that's, we're not sure exactly what. We know we're going to be doing it. We might have other churches joining us. We don't know that, about that for sure. But we'll be having our traditional trunk or treat out here in the parking lot. And then on October 3rd at 5:30, the sisters, the Secret Sisters program, have their reveal party where they find out who's been giving them all the gifts and cards and everything for that year, for the last year. So that'll be on October 3rd. You want to mark that on your calendar. And then on October 4th, the ladies' Bible study starts. So these are all events you want to take part in, if they pertain to you, and they're all great ways of fellowshipping here in the body of Christ. Today is our missions conference, and we're going to have a little bit different things. The only thing I want to make sure you know is after the traditional service is over, stick around. We have a special, we have luncheon provided. And then we have a speakers will be speaking to us after the lunch, okay? So we ask you to stick around if you can after this for the missions commissions. God is great, isn't he?
Amen.
Yes, the great is the Lord. They sang, blessed is the Lord, but great is the Lord, and greatly be praised. While we're here today, you know, I've given you the humdrum announcements. But now it's the good stuff. We're going to praise the Lord. Okay, God bless you.
Well, we have two sets of guests with us this morning, PDHC and Deaf Teen Quest. And I don't know which one wants to go first. Okay, PDHC will go first. You snooze, you lose. I mean, that's what I can say. So if you want to tell us, I'll let you tell them about all you want to tell them. We have a little video for this as well.
Yeah.
Heather, so it's on there. Oh, she said just a minute. She's finding it.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I could sing as beautifully as you, and I wish I could play the piano as beautifully as you. Oh, my goodness. That was wonderful. I am just going to take a few minutes here to show you our most recent Day in the Lives video. We have four pillars of comprehensive service at PDHC. We've been around for 42 years. And so we do our 24/7 hotline, our pregnancy centers. We have 4 pregnancy centers. And I Googled real quick here because I wanted to know how close we were to the West location. And it's just a little over 8 miles from here, about a 14-minute drive. And I wanted to let you know, we're just so thankful for your support because the West Center is our second busiest center. So like I said, we have 4 centers. Our busiest center is the North Center, followed very, very shortly behind is our West Center. So we're thankful for your support. I'll be talking more about our services, and I want to give you some more information on the November ballot initiative that would really greatly impact pregnancy centers. So I want to be able to share that information with you. But yeah, if we could go ahead and show the day in the life video, and then that's all I'm going to talk now, and then I'll talk more at lunch.
I felt like I was going to fail. These classes and these resources and these friends, they saved me and my baby.
They accommodate me and make it easy. Easy for me when everything else around me is chaos. I am learning and I am making myself stronger.
Seeing my tiny baby changed everything. I feel like that was the moment I became a mom.
I was scared and I panicked. I took the abortion pill and then immediately regretted it. I changed my mind, so I searched online for what I could do and found PDHC has a reversal. They were kind.
I'm one of the nurses here. You can come on back with me. We'll get started. Okay, and just know we are here for you. Okay? Okay.
So I was so nervous. The nurse talked with me, and I told her all the things I was worried about. She really listened and cared. Then we confirmed I was pregnant with a free test. The nurse helped me process and think through what I wanted. She told me about all the help that is available. Then offered me a free ultrasound.
I thought I was alone. I thought I could have no help. I felt like I was going to fail.
Okay, you can just stop the video since it's not working.
I am learning.
Here, you can impromptu and give us some information.
Okay, so what you saw there is a typical client coming into our centers. They're in crisis mode, and we do all free services, free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds. One of the things that it was going to talk about there is we also do abortion pill reversal services. So chemical abortions now represent over 80% of the abortions in Franklin County. And so it used to be surgical, now it's the chemical abortion. And we are actually the only pregnancy center in the area that does abortion pill reversal services. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at lunch. But then you were also seeing our parenting education program. So not only do we walk alongside them throughout their pregnancy, but also beyond, all the way through the first year of the baby's life. So we want to empower and strengthen families. So we're there for mom, we're there for baby, we're there for dad, we're there for families. And so our parenting education program is for moms and dads, and they can then earn points, which they use in our baby boutiques. So they can get car seats, pack and plays, they get baby items, diapers, wipes, everything that they could need to start their family out strong. And then what you also would have seen in here is our youth development. So a lot of people don't know that we are actually in middle and high schools in Franklin and Fairfield County teaching kids about making healthy life choices. And so that's a really important. We've been doing that since 1984. And then in 1989, we introduced our abortion recovery programs and services. So those that have are really struggling with a past abortion decision, we have an incredible, incredible program and services that just takes them through healing and hopefully prevents the next abortion. So those are our four pillars of service, and you'll hear more about it. And then, like I said, I want to talk about the November ballot initiative. We want to vote no. Because what the ballot initiative, if it passes, it would literally change our Ohio Constitution and make abortion legal all the way up until birth. That is, I cannot believe we are at this point, but that's where we're at. And so it's very important that everybody gets out there and votes, because if it passes, it will literally change the Constitution of Ohio. And if that happens, getting it changed in the future is going to be almost impossible. So I want to share a little bit more information about that too. So grateful for your support. We couldn't do what we do without our amazing church partners. You are one of those, and so we're just very thankful, and thank you for having me today.
Hello, I'm Lauren, and this is Caleb.
Hello, everybody.
we lead an organization called Deaf Teen Quest, which is a little smaller organization of a bigger one called Youth for Christ, and I think this church is already really supporting Youth for Christ in a lot of awesome ways. We just really appreciate that and want to thank you guys. And so just a little bit of information. We don't have a really cool video like Kathy had, unfortunately. It was still cool. But I just wanted to explain a little bit about Deaf Teen Quest. So we are a ministry that serves middle school and high school teenagers who are deaf and hard of hearing. And we do this because over 80% of the deaf and hard of hearing community is not reached for Christ. So that means that probably less than 1% of them, of the whole community, actually has a relationship with God and has even access to have that kind of relationship. So our mission is to raise up lifelong followers of Christ who also can disciple and teach other deaf and hard of hearing students to do the same thing. So that's the big reason why we do this. And we think that the Bible's really clear about going and making disciples. And we think that God does not want to exclude the deaf community in that. He's really passionate about including them in that work as well. And we know that they won't hear it, pun. They won't know the gospel. They won't know God unless we are the ones to go out and share that with them. So we're really excited to tell you guys more later on about what this ministry is, what this church's support has been able to help us do. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
I think that Lauren here summarized very great what we do at Deaf Teen Quest. We look forward to sharing more with you during lunch as well and hearing more about what Kathy has to say. It sounds like you do awesome work with what you guys do, and we're excited and very thankful that you guys have given us the opportunity to come here and share what God has put a burden on our hearts for. And we hope that through that we can answer any of your questions. So please be considering any questions that you'd like to ask us. We're very open about talking about the type of work we do and all of the different aspects that are involved with that as well. So again, thank you guys so much, and we're excited to be here today.
Let's stand, shall we? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Jesus saves. A song we don't sing very often, but it's true. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, tis the Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation, full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. May we be a shining light to the nations, a shining light to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world sees the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us. May we be a song of joy to the nations, a song of praise to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world rings with the praises of your name. May your song be sung through us. Let's read together, shall we? But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. By him, Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You mighty God.
You are awesome in this place,
Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Father, the word awesome belongs to you and you only. You are an awesome God. You can do more than we can ask or think. And Lord, it's good to be in your house with God's people. We look forward to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be here this morning, isn't it? I'm going to hear some exciting news about what God's doing through the PDHC and the Deaf Teen Quest. And so we're looking forward to that coming up. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we pray? Okay, Roxanne Finley's still home recovering, so we'll pray for her. Kelly?
Just ask him for prayer for Caleb. He's got a cold, and he's got his golf tournament Tuesday, so we need him to get better so he can golf.
Okay.
I have a prayer request for Steve. He's having surgery Tuesday on a hernia, so pray for him that everything will go well and they'll get it taken care of.
Alex is homesick as well this morning. She's zoomed in on us, so she's in there.
We just ask for prayers for our youngest daughter, Lauren.
Pete has a cold also today, so just ask you to pray for him. He's not real sick, but he didn't want to give it to anybody else. So thank you.
We don't want to share those things. Now, Pam, you did that on purpose, didn't you, Pam? Wait till I get all the way over here.
I just wanted to ask your prayers for my niece. Her name is Emily, and she's 14. And on Friday, her school, she goes to a Christian school down near Xenia, and they called her parents and said that she was having seizures, and she'd never had seizures in her life before. So my brother was so impressed with the school because he said they called the squad, and one of the people, I don't know whether it was the school nurse or whoever, traveled with her to the hospital because they couldn't get there that fast. And they got her to the hospital, and she was there in Children's Hospital, I think at Dayton. And they were there for about 3.5 hours and sent her home, and they really didn't have an actual diagnosis of what was going on, and they still aren't real certain. They gave them some thoughts on what it could be. But then last night, around 11:15, my brother texted me, and he said, Emily's having seizures again. It's like a tremor activity, and she just went on for about 45 minutes. And I think that they just kind of wrote it out this time, and she was at home. And so today, you know, I texted him, and she had not had any more. So I guess we just need prayer for God's wisdom and directing and giving knowledge to the doctors that will be treating her, and as they follow up with her. She is a Christian. She's a real bright, vivacious, you know, teenager, and she just loves life, and as a baseball player, pitches for the team, and she was to be in a tournament today. So I just pray that, you know, that the Lord will use us in their lives and Emily's life, and that the doctors will have wisdom.
I do have a prayer request. My husband's best friend's daughter, she has leukemia, and she's just a little girl. His girlfriend went through rehab, came out of rehab, and abandoned all of her children with him. They are now homeless. He's living out of his car with his three children, and I would just really like prayer for them. So thank you. Greg Stutz, and he does have a GoFundMe account if anybody would like to help out with it.
And Karen Williams sent an email saying one of her friends, I can't remember the name, is having a double mastectomy on Tuesday, so pray for that as well. So let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for the PDHC and Deaf Teen Quest are going to share with us what you're doing through those ministries and how they're helping to change lives and lead people to Christ. Father, we pray you be with these requests. We know there's a lot of requests this morning. There are not too many for you. You hear every single one of them. You take care of them individually for operations and sicknesses and homelessness and all kinds of things that we have going on as people. You know, we live in a world that's a corrupt world, and there's some mean people out there, people that are trying to take things and steal things and hurt people. We pray for protection. For those requests that were mentioned this morning, Lord, we pray for each and every one of them, that you would work in their lives and you would help bring a good solution to these things so they can find answers to their issues. And so we ask you to guide and direct us this morning as we try to follow you the best we can. Be with us as Sam sings this morning and as the message and as the missions conference continues on after the service in the fellowship hall. Be with those who can't be with us today, who may be sick or maybe out of town, or maybe there's some other reason they can't be with us, but be with them as well. Be with our families and our friends as well, and those who are serving in other countries. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So many hearts are hurting. So many people in need. So many lost and lonely. Lord, give us eyes to see. We've got a message of healing for those who've given up. We're taking hope to the hopeless, 'cause we're in of love.
We are a world-changing, difference-making, kingdom-building, soul-shaking
people of God.
We are a light shining, death-defying, gospel-taking, testifying. standing up to the darkness and pushing back on the up. Everybody go and tell someone. Rise up. Tell them all about what love has done. Rise up. Everybody go and tell someone. Rise up. Tell them all about what love has done. Yeah, we are a world-changing, difference-making, kingdom-building, soul-shaking people of God. We are a light shining, death-defying, gospel-taking, testifying, army of love. They are a world-changing, difference-making, kingdom-building, soul-shaking, people of God. We are a light shining, death-defying, gospel-taking, testifying, army of love.
Thanks, Sam. How do you follow that, I guess? He spoke almost as fast as I do, so I was impressed about that. Well, anytime we choose to follow something or someone, there's a cost. We may not recognize it at the time, but there's going to be a cost somewhere. Let's start with something everybody understands. I know you're a big football audience. And you choose Ohio State. I know I said it. You won't say the M word, Michigan, but I'll say Ohio State. And it's all great and it's all happy and wonderful until they lose. And then people feel sad, get mad at the coach, fire him. You send hate text to the player who dropped the ball. Oh! I don't know how that got on there, but that's I'll take that one. So there is a cost, right? You buy tickets, that's one cost. But the other cost may be disappointment, embarrassment, ridicule, frustration, because there's nothing you can do to change a situation. You know, people get all upset and they do all these things, but you're sitting in your couch or whatever watching the game. These guys are playing the game. You can't make them play better. The coach can't make them do things that they can't do. But you need to count the cost and see if it's worth continuing to follow that team. And then you ask yourself, am I loyal? Will I go through hard times and still be a fan, or will I be a follower? There's a difference between the two. A fan and a follower. Fans are kind of wishy-washy. But followers stick with their team or their whatever they're following no matter what. This is fanatic, so this is a little bit different than being a fan. But you have to ask yourself, am I willing to pay the price? Am I willing to take the heat when they lose? Am I willing to be excited when they win? Even as mediocre, will I stay with that team, whatever it may be? So I use this illustration to show you how it relates to our Christian life. Are we willing to follow Jesus Christ through thick and thin, good and bad, ridicule, persecution, whatever it may be? Are we going to follow him? Are we just a fan of him, or are we a follower of his? There's going to be trials and struggles, wins and losses. But are we faithful to him above all others? That's the question that we ask, right? We can talk about football when we talk about Christ. That's the bigger picture. Luke 14, 25 through 30 talks about the cost of following Christ. And it says, large crowds were following or traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person can't be my disciple. So we look at this verse and we say, what are you talking about? You want me to hate my family, my friends, myself? But that's not really what he's talking about. If you look in a little, the context in the chapter, he's teaching his disciples, and like a good teacher, he's making a statement to get them to think. It begins with something that's true, but hard to understand. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, even his own life, they can't be my disciple. So it seems like if you don't hate your family, you can't be a follower of Christ. But we know that's not true about hating our father and mother. We have to count. He talks about building a house later on, and you have to count the cost. He's talking about counting the cost of following him. What's the cost of following Christ when you think about the cost? We think we just accept Christ and life's great and everything goes well, but that's not the way it is for everybody. We have times of trials and struggles when we get sick, and we have all kinds of different things that happen to us. Are we still following Christ during those times, or are we just saying, well, I give up. You know, he's not really for me. He's against me, but that's not true. So Jesus' illustration about the man counting that cost for his house talks about we need to be ready to pay the price when we accept Christ. In order to be a disciple, you have to give up everything. You know that? Doesn't mean you give it away. It means you surrender it to him and saying, all this stuff is yours, my car, my house, my clothes, my job, my kids, my wife, my husband, whatever it may be, it's all his. It's not mine. So I'm just here as a steward of those kind of things. He requires us to be faithful to him. Even if your parents choose not to follow the Lord, will you follow the Lord or not? That's the question that's asked. If we're faced with painful choices of loyalty to family or Christ, who do we choose? If our parents disown us because we follow Christ, or our friends disown us, who do we choose? Relationship with Christ, relationship with them. That's a hard decision to make, isn't it? Your family says, if you follow Christ, then you don't come in this house. People have that situation, especially Muslims and those kind of people that convert. They may be shunned. And we know it's right to love our family members. We want them to love and follow God. But Jesus confirmed the fifth commandment that we need to honor our fathers and mothers. And Paul says, anybody who does not provide for their relatives, especially their own household, has denied their faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But Jesus' statement that we hate father and mother must be seen in relation to the whole scripture. So he's not making a heartless statement, but he's only saying we need to love him more. So because you love him more, it doesn't mean you don't love them, right? You love him more, but you still love them. But in comparison, it seems to be that you hate them. So this another translation makes it clear. It says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. That little word makes a difference, doesn't it, by comparison. That means I love you, but I love Jesus so much more. So you're not really hating them necessarily is the word we hate, but we love them more. Another one says we must hate our family members in the sense of indifference or relative disregard for them in comparison with this attitude toward God. It's a hatred by comparison, not absolute hatred. A site called sharingbread.com says, Jesus is not teaching an emotional hatred of one's parents any more than he's teaching self-hatred or the emphasis on self-denial and absolute surrender. He talks about us having to carry our cross after that. So many Christians never have to make the painful choice of turning their backs on family to follow Christ, but around the world, there are many Christians who are shunned and disowned. So when they make a decision for Christ, the family cuts them off. We don't always have that decision here, do we? We accept Christ and everybody's happy. Yes, that's a great thing in most cases. But in their cases, they accept Christ and their family disowns them. You're not my son. You're not my daughter. In some cases, they're killed for accepting Christ. We don't face that kind of pressure. Well, let's suppose that a person feels drawn to accept Christ. Or suppose that some affliction or some sudden death or an awakening sermon has stirred their conscience and made them feel the value of their soul to desire Christ. So we're saying, let's say some situation comes up where the person decides, I want to accept Christ. And by following Jesus, they know there's everything to encourage them. It's a good thing. Your sins are forgiven, no matter how many there are. Your heart's completely changed, no matter how cold and hard. Christ and the Holy Spirit, mercy and grace are ready for you. But there's still going to be a cost. Remember when you first accepted Christ? How awesome and wonderful it was? And then a hard time came. You're like, what's going on with this? I I thought I accepted Christ and things are going to be perfect. Now this problem's coming up. Now my parents are yelling at me or my girlfriend broke up with me or whatever it is. But I accepted Christ, so shouldn't everything be great? Well, in a spiritual sense, it is great. But in this world sense, it's not always great in this world because we live in a world that's not a good place. Verse 27 says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Sometimes we say the word bearing their cross and we misinterpret it. It doesn't mean you have to endure a particular long hardship. You may, but that's not always the case. We think sometimes bearing your cross is like, I'm going to live with this pain my whole life. It doesn't always mean that. It means be willing to follow Jesus even if there are repercussions. Losing a job, a business, your social media account, people may unfriend you. Persecution, maybe physical, maybe something that's going to happen that you didn't expect. But the spiritual benefits of that outweigh anything else that could happen in this world. And then in verse 28, we alluded to this before. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Some verses may say a house. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everybody who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Have you seen houses like that? You drive by and they're half done. I know in like Ottawa Lake, Michigan, where we used to live for a while, there's this big, huge mansion type thing being built. It was like half done and it never got finished. It just sat there. You had weeds grow up and all animals go in and all kinds of things that happened to it. But Matthew Henry says this for these verses. Those who intend to build this tower must sit down and estimate the costs. Let them consider what it will cost them, a life of self-denial and watchfulness. It may perhaps cost them their reputation among men and all that is dear to them in this world, even life itself. And if it should cost us all this, what is that in comparison with the cost of Christ? Many who began to build this tower do not go on with it, nor persevere in it, and it's their folly. It's true. We have none of us in our own selves enough to finish this tower, but Christ said, my grace is sufficient for you. Nothing's more shameful than for those who have begun well in relationship with Christ to give up on it. You know anybody that started out following Christ and then walked away? They said, it's too hard, or this happened to me, so they walked away from it. They said, Christ gives us the power to stay with that relationship. Henry Martin said, I have rightfully no business each day but to do God's work as a servant, constantly regarding his pleasure. May I have grace to live above every human motive, simply with God and to God. So every effort we're making should be for God's purpose, not necessarily for ours, not our motives. Amy Carmichael said, no work that is set on following the crucified escapes the cross. What was the cross? A sign of punishment, wasn't it? And Christ made it a sign of freedom because he's not there. So when I see these necklaces people are wearing with Jesus on the cross, I'm like, he's not there. It should be empty cross. Christ is not on the cross anymore. He arose. Ever consider the cost of following hard after Christ? In our illustration today, it talks about many modern men and women are well-intentioned and considering the benefits of Christ, but they don't count the cost. We talked about football teams at the beginning, didn't we? We talked about fair-weather fans. They like this team because they're winning, and it's great, and then as soon as they lose, they switch to somebody else. A follower follows no matter what. Win or lose, they follow that person, hopefully Christ. No matter what, whether they have a good day, a bad day, they're still going to follow Christ. We live in a society that's a name-it-claim-it society. They want instant gratification, everything easy, and everything to be obtained well or quickly. We know it's not true. You can't just name it, claim it. God, I want to have a Cadillac tomorrow. Boom, it's in my driveway. I want to get a raise from work. They're going to raise my pay 50% tomorrow, and it's going to happen. Right. He doesn't tell us that. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. So what does he say? Work at it with all your heart. He doesn't say sit there and wait for it and get it for free. Wait for the government to give it to you, right? Somebody's got to work and pay for it. So he tells you to work at it. Same as our relationship with him, it takes work. The relationship with family, friends, and with Christ. You got to put the time and effort in. You can't just expect it's all going to come to you. Well, as you saw in Luke 14, everything in our lives must be subordinate to Christ. And he demands that in terms of interest, attachment, and priority. Everything else must be secondary to Christ. That's a hard choice sometimes, isn't it? Do I do this or do I do that? If I do this, my family's going to get mad. If I go to church, they're going to say, what are you doing going to church? Are you a holy roller? Why do you go to church so many times? What's wrong with you? I know when I was a kid in high school, I was at church all the time. My first motivation was my girlfriend. Well, that's a different girl. And you see where she ended up, so you know, I'm not with her now. That was my first motivation, was because they went to church, her family took me to church, then I became a Christian, accepted Christ, did all the other things, you know. But my motivation now is Christ. Come to church to hear about him, talk about him, learn about him. But we live in a fallen world, pain is experienced by the redeemed and the unredeemed alike. At least for the redeemed, pain and suffering always has a purpose. And we know there's a glorious ending to that. So in the Deaf Teen Quest and the PDHC, there's pain going on. They see pain all the time. Kids that come in that are hurt. Nobody talks to me. They shun me. They can't communicate with me. I sit here by myself. I subbed one time in I think it was Cherry Valley School in the deaf room. It was kind of fun. And somebody helped me out with the kids. But you get to realize what it's like if you can't communicate. I know I had an inner ear infection one time. I couldn't hear out of one ear. And I didn't hardly talk. Because people would talk and I'd be like looking around like, what direction is that coming from? And I couldn't hear clearly what they said, so I didn't want to respond to make the wrong statement. So you get some of those illustrations of what's happening with kids, women that come in that are pregnant, that didn't plan to be, but they are, and like, what do I do now? My parents won't support me. I have nowhere to go. What should I do? So we see suffering, but as a Christian, you know there's an end to that. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So if we follow God's plan and God's purpose, we find that love and compassion that we need. As I was studying this week, I found some things that following Christ will cost us as individuals. First of all, it's going to cost us our self-righteousness. Anybody ever been self-righteous? You can't do that to me. How could you do that to me? Why did you do that? You don't do that to me. Right? We have some kind of conceit sometimes that happens. We have pride. But we need to be content knowing that we're poor sinners saved by grace because of Jesus Christ. Nothing that we can do. We're not better than anybody else. We have to give up our trust in our own ability, our morality, our respectability, and receive what Christ has given us. We need to pray, read the word, go to church with other believers, and trust nothing but Christ. Second thing it's going to cost us our sin. And you say, well, I don't have any sins. You may have that little favorite thing that you do that you know is a sin. You're like, this probably shouldn't be doing this, but it's kind of like my little favorite sin that I just hold over here and doesn't really count as a sin. They may be habits or practices which are wrong in God's sight. And whatever the world around may say or think, we have to set our face against it, quarrel with it, break from it, fight against it, crucify it, and keep it under control. Not draw a truce with it, but say, I want to get rid of it. So when we recognize that we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, we go to Christ and say, I want to get rid of this. Help me get this out of my life. I confess it. I know I'm doing this wrong. It may not seem like that bad of a thing, but it's not what you want me to do. And then you just renounce it and give it to him. And lastly, you might lose the favor of the world. You might be mocked or ridiculed or slandered or persecuted or even hated. But don't be surprised, because Jesus went through the same thing, didn't he? He was mocked and scorned, his beard plucked out, he was beaten, spit on, all kinds of things that happened. You may have people that call you a fool or a fanatic or change your words that you didn't say and say, well, you said this, and yeah, I didn't really say that. But we know that a servant is not any greater than his master. And if they persecute him, they're going to persecute us. So the cost of following Christ is worth it. And how can any sane man or woman doubt that saving a soul is worth everything? right? Whatever it takes. Surely a Christian should be willing to give up anything that stands between him and heaven. And this quote that I found says, a religion that costs nothing is worth nothing. A cheap Christianity without a cross will prove, in the end, a useless Christianity without a crown. So he had to go through the cross to get the crown. Got a few more things I'm going to share about some people who paid the price. 2 Corinthians 11, this is what Paul says. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked, and besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Would you keep going if this was you? Good question to ask, because in all these things he was going through for serving Christ, this is the cost that he paid. And yet he still continued on to share with others. Well, the gospel wasn't intended for us to be safe, right? It says Satan's like a roaring lion waiting to devour us. And sometimes people get devoured. But many missionaries have gone before us and risked it all for the cause of Christ. And I got a few pictures up here. Jim Elliott, Hudson Taylor, Gladys Allward, and Adoniram Judson. And I had to look him up because I'm like, what did he do? He was a missionary in Burma with the Baptist Church, and he started an organization and all kinds of things. So if you want to, he's the guy on the bottom left of the screen, which I hadn't heard him before. But in this age, believers and missionaries alike are still being persecuted daily from following and proclaiming Jesus is Lord. So people know you're a Christian, especially in some other countries, and your family gets beat or you get chopped up with a machete or whatever it may be just because you accept Christ. And do you denounce him or do they kill your kids? You know, those are real choices that people are going through. If you went to the internet and looked up missionaries that have passed away, you wouldn't find these names listed alone. But you'll find articles of missionaries killed in Iraq, Bible translators shot dead in Cameroon, or a young man risking his life to reach an unreached people group all within the last month. So the question we ask is, how long is it going to take for people to realize that Christ is the answer? Instead of running away from him, they need to be running towards him in these kind of times. So I'm glad that organizations like Deaf Teen Quest and PDHC are here to make a difference for Christ. They're seeing lives changed, right? Transformed, people helped. And we're going to see and hear more about that following this service. But the question remains, are you willing to follow Jesus at any cost? Easy to say yes right now, isn't it? Tell somebody's at your door with a gun to your head and said, if you accept Christ, I'm going to shoot you in the head. I'm not asking you to make that decision right now and say, oh yeah, I would do it. Because when you're there, you'll know, won't you? We just hope that our faith is strong enough to follow Christ no matter what the situation is or where we are. And I pray that God helps us to be his witness no matter what. So let's pray. Father, just thank you for your word this morning. Help us to be followers of you no matter what the cost is. It's easy to say yes right now, but Lord, we need to be committed to that in our spirit, our mind, and our soul. We know the disciples went through horrific deaths for following you. Pray you'd give us the ability to do that if that's what you call us to. But help us, Lord, to be witnesses where we are. Help us to be followers of you and to show others the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing this morning, shall we, as we go? People need when we realize There's our assignment, right? It's been good to be in God's house today. We'll see you. Thank you. Have a good week.